Everyone's talking about building a personal brand. And if they're not talking about that, they're talking about doing the exact opposite, which is creating a faceless business. Well, today we are going to talk to a true personal branding and reputation expert. AJ Vaden and her husband run an eight-figure business that is all about personal branding. They have helped some of the biggest names in the business, but they are true data nerds like me, and they have all of the research to tell you why a personal brand is exactly what you need to help amplify the growth of your business.
This is for you, the online business owner who wants to maximize your profit and multiply your impact. I'm Shanna, host of the Community Creators Podcast. I've spent over a decade helping top brands and entrepreneurs create thriving communities that increase their reach, retention, and revenue. This podcast is where I share my best insights and invite you into conversations with the world's leading community creators and cultivators. So grab your favorite mug, fill it up, and let's get started.
AJ Vaden is the co-founder of Brand Builders Group with her husband, Rory, and a sweet friend here in Nashville. But here's the deal. She is the world's leading authority on personal branding. What does that mean? We're talking about leveraging your reputation to amplify your message and grow your business. This is not something that she developed overnight. She's been working in this space for about 20 years. So she's a true expert, not somebody who just built an Instagram following and said that they had personal branding expertise. Now, you can learn a lot about Instagram from those people, which is fantastic. But if you really want to understand the methodology behind creating a personal brand, amplifying your message, if you really want to understand why it is so important, especially in a day and age when we have people who are talking about building faceless brands, then you're going to want to listen to this episode. She has done a true research study and was the lead commissioner of this nation's first multi-generational national study on personal branding. That work has been featured in Success Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, Good Morning America, etc. She is a recognized speaker. She has worked with some of the most recognized names in our industry. I won't go down that list, but I'm telling you, AJ is the absolute expert in this space, which is why I have her on the podcast today. Well, AJ, thanks for coming and hanging out. I'm so excited for us to be chatting today.
Likewise, it's going to be fun.
Okay, so before we dive into all the business stuff, tell us, what's your favorite community you've ever been a part of and what did you love about it?
Okay, well, I have two because I have one more personal and one more business. Honestly, my favorite personal community that I've ever been a part of is my Bible study group. And we did this really crazy thing about 3 years ago now, and we joined almost like a home church. We have a church, but this acts almost like a home church, but it's a Bible study group. And at this point, I think there's five families, and we meet every single Sunday from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. every week for 4 hours. We have our own worship leader. He does music. We do a kids study. We do a full hour and a half, and then we eat together, and then we all have desserts with our kids. And it's been the most consistent routine thing in my life for, I see these people more than I see any other friends and family that I have, but then also the accountability and the discipline to do something that we all believe in. And it's just been one of the coolest things that I've ever committed to. And it's a big commitment. 4 hours every Sunday. It's a big commitment. So that's my favorite personal community. And then my favorite business community is my EO group. So the Entrepreneurs Association or organization here in Nashville. I've been a part of my forum for 8 years. And again, these people know more about me than probably anyone else because of the unique confines of, you got to go deep fast because we only meet once a month and it's for 4 hours. But this is a group of people that I could not imagine doing business with or life without. They have been up, down, and all around with me. And it's one of those things where I may not attend any other event all year that EO does, but as long as I have my meeting with that group of people, I am so, so fulfilled.
I love that. I've heard amazing things about EO, and we have had lots of small group experiences. And at one point we had an experience that was similar to that. And I think the similarity between both of those is the consistency and then the amount of time that you spend with them once you get with them. Because I think we're oftentimes we think, oh, well, I'll meet for less time more frequently. But the reality is that always, even if you know somebody really well, it can take time to get to that depth that you want to get to. And so that shorter time, more frequency is not always as valuable as you're meeting less often. But when you do meet, you're actually meeting for 4 hours or whatever it might be, because you can just go so much deeper.
Yeah. And I think it just, honestly, conversations take time to warm up. Oh, and it just takes time for the right question or the right moment or that right level of confidence to go, yeah, I think I am going to say something now. Or somebody saying something to you that they may not have said in a 30 or 45 minute coffee meeting, but at hour three, they're like, I just can't not say this. You hear this. And I think that's been the part of, man, having that longer amount of time, even if it's less frequent, has been really powerful.
Yeah, I think that's why we love family dinners with other families so much, because we'll do something earlier so that the kids can play, and then we're cooking together, then we're eating together, and then we're just letting the kids run wild while the adults get to hang out. And so by the end of it, you really have been together for 3+ hours and hopefully have had the chance to have some really deep connections as well. So we're talking about personal branding today, and there's a whole lot of things that we can be covering. And there's a whole lot of people that talk about personal branding now. It is very much this trending topic about how to build a personal brand, become an author, become a speaker, become a YouTuber, become an influencer, whatever it might be. I want you to share a little bit of your background, because you are not new to this game. You are a true expert in this. You are not somebody who posted some awesome reel on TikTok or Instagram or whatever and hit it big overnight, and now you're a personal branding expert. So can you just give us a little bit of your background so that people understand why you're the one that I wanted to have on the podcast?
Yeah, well, I think the part that's so funny to that last thing that you said is we didn't post some reel that went viral. It's quite the opposite. I think I still, to this day, have less than 10,000 followers on Instagram. Now, I have a bit more than that on LinkedIn and whatnot, but I do not have a big, not massive following.
And you and your husband run an 8-figure business. So it's not like you're like not doing okay.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that people naturally associate with a personal brand is somehow it's tied to some social media following or being famous or Insta-famous or being an influencer, which I think that term in general is odd that it's tied to anything digital, because being an influencer just means you have influence, and that can happen at any small offline group or any large online group or any mix between. But I think it's really important that people realize like that the term personal brand is new, but the concept is not. In our world and the business that we're really in, although it's called personal branding, is we're in the business of reputations. And we all have a reputation. And if you really think about it, in our world anyways, we talk about a reputation is simply what people think about when they think of you. Now, the art of building that is what we call building a personal brand. It is personal branding, which is the formalization and digitization of your reputation. And so, as I mentioned, that's not a new term. Reputations have been around for a very long time. And the whole concept of even influencer marketing is not new. It's just more common now. Like, I remember back in the 1980s, one of my favorite commercials of all time was this Michael Jackson singing commercial for Coca-Cola. And then I remember Britney Spears in the 90s did one for Pepsi. And I just remember like they were these iconic commercials. Now, why would they hire Michael Jackson and Britney Spears to do it? Why? Because they had personal brands. People followed them, knew them, liked them, trust them. So again, this isn't new. It's just more popular to now. It's more everyday. It's not just for celebrities. It's for every single individual like me who has a very small online following, all the way to The Rock, Dwayne Johnson himself. So I think that's really important. But I've been at this game for a really long time. I fell into this accidentally, because at the core root of everything we talk about, it's nothing new. It's sales and marketing. It's being able to get good results and then have the ability for people to know about those results. The worst thing in the world is to be a best kept secret. And often that's your fault. That's because you didn't do the work to make sure that people know you for what you want to be known for. That takes intentionality. It takes planning. It takes work to do those things. And so I fell into this when I was in my early 20s. So I've been at it almost 20 years. I turned 40 this last year. It feels almost impossible to say that. But we fell into this because I was a part of a founding group that started a sales training company back in the days when Tony Robbins was not Tony Robbins. He still had sales reps going out to car dealerships and real estate offices selling tickets to his events. Well, we actually had a small seminar business doing the exact same thing in the days of Tom Hopkins and Brian Tracy and even Grant Cardone, all before these people were who they are today, they all started the same way that we did, which was selling tickets to events. So I would call on a sales team. I would say, hey, let me come into your sales team. I had a really great script, answer the objections. I'll do it for free. I'll let you customize it. I'll come in and work with your sales team as long as at the end, you let me offer to your group the opportunity to buy a ticket to this bigger event that we're having in 12 weeks. So I did that for 5 years. I lived in 14 cities. I helped open up 14 new markets. Everything I owned fit in my car for almost 5 years. That's where I met my husband, who is one of my business partners. There were four people who started that company in the mid-early 2000s, 2005, 2006. What a great time to start a business. Luckily, we were really naive and didn't know anything, but that was really the beginning of learning how quickly our business grew, the better our reputation got. And really, another word for that is referrals. I remember one of my big accounts was Wells Fargo, and I called on Wells Fargo's all across the country speaking at their mortgage offices because I did a really great job at one office. And then I got referred to the next. The next thing you know, I probably had 80 or 90 offices that I had worked with. One, because I had good results. Two, I had a great reputation. But three, I was willing and able to ask for the referral into that next group. And so it really all began during this sales career. And that company eventually turned into a sales coaching company. We launched a speakers bureau. My husband launched his first book called Take the Stairs, which hit number 2 on the New York Times in 2010. Then we launched our second book, which was Procrastinate on Purpose, was a instant national bestseller. My husband was later inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame, so forth and so on. And so this was a long, long, not overnight success to get to where we are. But the parts of that that I think are amazing is that anyone I know who looks like they're an overnight success are not. There is a decade or decades of work and relationships and behind the scenes stuff that we never get to see until they show up on the scene one day and you're like, where'd they come from? Well, they've been here all along. You just didn't know about them until that one day. And I think that's true for all of us.
Yeah, I love how you're already talking about personal branding in the context of business growth. So you've shared your journey, and in the midst, I've heard things like sales, referrals, network, all of this, which people think about personal brand, and oftentimes it's a vanity metric that they're looking for. And you're talking about how it's actually going to help you get more sales. It's going to help you expand your audience. You're going to get more referrals, which I talk about member experience and customer experience in the same way. If you do a really good job and you help get people results, then they're going to want to tell other people about your program. And the other beautiful thing about a really strong reputation is that when people get into your programs, they're more likely to retain because they've already built so much trust and credibility with you. When people are hiring community managers, we find that they are terrified to hire that role more than anybody else. And it's because their reputation and relationships are being handed over to somebody. They've worked so hard to build that, and now they need somebody else to uphold that. So talk to us a little bit more about the reputation, personal brand side, and how that can actually impact a business.
Yeah, I think it's important because you actually touched on two of three things that I think are really important in this conversation. And in 2021, we started the first ever national research study on the state of personal branding. So what are the impacts of personal branding as it relates to both an individual, but for us, more importantly, a company? And how is personal branding affecting traditional marketing and advertising in the sense of a company? And so we launched that study in 2021. We finished it and released it in 2022. And it was the first ever and still the only national research study done on what is personal branding today and what are the impacts that we're seeing across all industries, all companies. And there were three underlying things that we found. I'll give you the link if people want to go download the study for free. It's freebrandstudy.com. It's completely free. Don't get intimidated. It's a lot of pictures. It's an 80-page PDF, but there's a lot of really powerful statistics that are not our opinions. In fact, many of our hypotheses were blown up in the most fantastic way of going, we were so wrong. I'm so glad we did this study. Wow, like that's really important. But the three underlying currents that really shook us of going, well, this is bigger than we thought. this is more important to business than we ever even considered, even though that we're in the business of this. First thing is that Gen Z, which is the emerging workforce, they have now entered into the workforce. And I think this was really important. They reported that personal brands, personal branding is not a game of vanity or ego to them, but it is a critical, quote unquote, and essential part of how they make daily decisions. Now, that's in consumer context, buying and purchasing decisions. So that was the first thing. They're going, this is our world. If I don't know who you are, it is unlikely I'm going to buy from you. But if I do, which led to the second thing, is that those people with personal brands who have established personal brands, not only are people more likely to buy from you, they are more likely to spend more money with you because you have an established personal brand, not because you are a part of a well-known company. That was significant. And then the third thing, which is really the most important thing, is that out of everything else, personal branding at its very core is simply a trust accelerator. That's what it is. It's allowing people to get to know you faster, learn from you, which is an important part of this for businesses, but also people want to actually know who you are as a person, not just what you do. So it's like people have to be able to see you, get to know you, but also learn from you. And I think that was a really critical difference. Even 5 years ago in the marketplace, this is how transactions worked in the business place. I give you my money, you give me goods and services. Well, that's not how it works today. That's actually not how business works today. How it works today is I get information from you for free, and then I decide if it's good enough for me to give you my money.
Yeah. And not just is it good enough, but do I like you?
Is it good enough? Do I like you? And that's why blogs and podcasts and social media is so explosive, is because inherently we all know it's like, we know this is happening. We just don't understand how much and how important it's actually attributing to our top line and our bottom line. And I think one of the things I thought was really interesting is that this just literally just happened like 3 weeks ago. I was talking to my girlfriend and she was asking me about, not TMI here, but like who my OBGYN was. And I said, this is who I'm using. And she goes, okay, well, I've been looking. And I was like, well, who are you using? And she told me, and I said, well, where'd you find her? She goes, well, I really like her online content. And you found your OB from online content? She goes, yeah, just she provides so much free content on her website. It really validated that she really knew what she was talking about. And then the long story short is she wasn't loving the experience, but I thought it was fascinating that, and she is very much a younger millennial, and that was very much her whole process is, how much information, how much value are you giving me before I ever decide to do business with you? And that's how she made her purchase decision. Now, it had nothing to do with her retention of staying there, but it did indicate that. Second quick example of, if either one of us were going to find someone new to do our hair. My hair is a very big deal for me. Like you, I have very long hair. I have a lot of it and it's really important to me. And I'll tell you what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to go to the Google and type in best hairstylist, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm not going to Yelp or Angie's List. I'm not doing that. What am I doing? I'm calling up my friend who has amazing hair and I'm going, girl, who does your hair? I need a new person. That's what I'm doing. And so I think a point of some of this is that we all have personal brands, even if we don't know it. If you have a friend who comes to you for something, that's how they identify you with you. That's how they associate with you. Now, why is this so important to businesses? It's because people don't follow companies. They follow people. I've never in my life ever heard a company being interviewed. I only hear people being interviewed. It's like we work for people, not companies. We follow and fall in love with people who represent companies, but not the company itself. A company is just a collection of individuals. And somehow over the last couple of decades, we've gotten so behind corporate logos and all of this stuff that we have forgotten. It's like at the end of the day, that's not really what creates brand loyalty and increased purchasing power and retention. It's no, there is a relationship. There is a connection. If somebody only wears Nike, it's because probably it's somewhere in their youth, they came attached to someone that also represented that, the Michael Jordan era, now like the Leo Messi era in soccer. It's because it is tied to a person that we have great respect or admiration for, and thus we fall in love with the brand. And the cool part is that every single one of us can do that right now with our small business, right now, today, with everyone around us. And that is the power of personal branding.
I feel like this has become more and more important post-2020 because as ugly and brutal as it was in the 2020 era, there was this peeling back of who are you? Who's behind this business? And it was forcing people to shine light on the personal side of who they were and not just their business side. And I do think that although that was done in a very toxic way in many ways, it has created this increasing desire for people to align with the person behind the business that they're buying from. And so I'm curious, it's funny because I feel like 2020 happened, you did this study, you're seeing all of this, but there's so many people now that are going, I'm going to build a faceless Instagram account. And I have admittedly done this. I just want to build a business that I can hide behind, that nobody knows it's me, just a faceless business. And I think there's a personal desire for that because the online space requires so much. It feels like it requires so much energy. It feels like it requires so much. And people really struggle between authenticity and transparency, which are two very different things. They equate to them, and then they feel like they have to share everything online, which is not true. But there becomes this struggle, and then people get onto this craze, which we're seeing right now as we record this, of just, I'm going to build a faceless Instagram account or a TikTok account and make my million. So seeing what you've seen with the data, does that make sense to you? What are your thoughts on that?
No. And I don't want to be too rude. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. It truly, when it comes to actually doing something that's worthwhile and that's worth your time and investment and something that's worth more than just a dollar in your banking account. And that's something that I think is really important of why people are loyal to brands is because it's not faceless. It's because they do know what it's about and who's behind it. And I liken this a lot to the crypto fall that happened just a couple of years ago. It's like this faceless industry, and it just was growing poof. And I had many friends who lost millions with this faceless industry of thinking this was a better way and then being like, oh, maybe I should have reconsidered some of those things. And not to liken it too much, but I do think it's a really important thing for people to understand the difference between doing something for ego and vanity versus doing something for purpose and mission. And in my world, anyways, at Brand Builders Group and how we see personal branding, it's an extension of your purpose. When you think about being identified with something and being likened to something, it's going like, what's my legacy? What do I want to be known for? And if you just get a little into fly for a second, if you just sped ahead and you're on your deathbed and it's your last day on this earth and you look around and you go, what do I want people to say at my eulogy? What do I want to be remembered for? What do I want to be known for doing? And being known, it's like, maybe that's just you and your creator. Maybe it's just you and your family, but what is it that you want to look back on and go, that's what I gave my life to, and I am proud of that? And would you really want to be proud of having a faceless company that shares no real values, no real beliefs, stands for nothing transparently because you're hiding behind a faceless account? I don't think so. And I think this is a fad. It's not a trend. I think personal branding is a trend, not a fad. And I think we're going to see lots of fads that come and go, and some stay longer than others. And in my opinion, this is a direct result of something that has been pushed so ego hard and so vanity driven by just the fake followers and all the things. I think this is just the pendulum swinging way to the left, and it'll settle right back in the middle, which is sometimes a necessity to get things normalized. And at the same token, anyone who is building a personal brand for the point of vanity or followers, it's like, that's not a personal brand. That is for selfish ambition and pride and ego. And I'm not saying I don't have those things. I definitely suffer from those things. I'm a human being. And recognizing you do not have to have millions of followers to make millions of dollars in business. And you do not have to have a massive business to make a massive impact. We can do that with one customer. We can do that with a following of 10. And that's putting the heart back into some of this that's gotten lost. That happens digitally because your personal brand and your reputation are not just online. They are equally, if not more important, offline. And I can go back and look at the way that we've started our company and Brand Builders Group, although we've been at this for 20 years, Brand Builders Group as an actual entity has only been alive. I think we're still like a toddler as a company, but 5.5 years. And when we started this company in 2018, and it was in the middle of a crisis, and I got so gloriously and unexpectedly fired. And in the wake of that chaos, in the wake of that crisis, this company was born because of an offline relationship that we had with a friend, not a good friend at the time, just a friend, Lewis Howes, who had a really well-known podcast and a really trusted audience that he had been growing and nurturing for, at that point, over a decade. And because we had an offline relationship with him, with no business ties, we were able to help him do something that he was looking at doing. And then because he trusted us in an offline, not an online relationship, not because we had websites and podcasts and email lists and social, we actually had none of those things. When we started Brand Builders Group, we had forfeited and turned over our social media accounts. We had lost our email list. We had lost our podcast. We had no website. We were literally in the middle of a crisis. And he said, "Y'all, this is why this happened. You're meant to do this. And if you can't see it, I'm telling you, this is what you're meant to do. This is why this is happening. Let me help. Let me introduce your new company to my audience." "We don't have a new company. What are you talking about? We're just helping you in our basement." He goes, "No, you do. Let me tell people about it." And that is how we started our company. We launched our company on his podcast with an unstylized landing page that had a picture of me and my husband and an orange button that said, "Request a call here." And it was not pretty. It was not designed. We had no website, no podcast, no email list, and no social. And that's how we started our company. And that unstylized landing page, because Lewis had built a very long-standing face forward, not face list, relationship with people who knew him, liked him, and trusted him, who tuned into him, who knew what he looked like, knew what he stood for, knew what he believed in, because he talked about it openly and transparently week after week for decades. Then because of that, he was able to extend that to us. And of that one podcast episode, it generated 1,000 leads. 1,000 people clicked that lame orange button and said, "If he says you're trustworthy, I believe it." And they scheduled a call. That's how our company started. And so the whole idea that we would do something faceless is crazy to me. It's ludicrous because that's not how the real world offline works. Not how it really works in everyday human interaction.
If you want to create a thriving online community, you need to join my free Community Creators Hub. Inside of this free hub, you're going to get access to a searchable database of every episode of this podcast, as well as my favorite free resources, like my 77 plus connection ideas list, community manager best practices guide, and scripts for video messaging, plus so much more. Discover the tools and the resources that I rely on to grow and manage thriving online communities. Just go to communitycreatorshub.com to get your free access. I love how you said earlier, everybody has a personal brand, whether they recognize it or not. I want to talk about how to amplify your personal brand, but I think first we may need to get to, like, how do I even figure out what my personal brand is? Is that where most people get hung up? Is like, well, what do I talk about? Who am I? What do I have to say? What is my message?
Yes, that is where most people get hung up. And most often it's because they're asking the exact wrong questions from the get-go. They're asking, what should I talk about? They're asking, where should I be? And those are the wrong questions. The very first question that anyone should be asking is, who am I meant to serve? Who is it in the world that I can help, that I can actually provide real value to, that I can actually help get real results in X area of their life or their business? And I know I can do that because I have the experience and expertise, most likely firsthand, to help them with that. And that's where, back to what I said earlier, it's like, it's not about millions of dollars, although you can likely make that. And it's not about a massive business, although you can build that. It's about, who can I help in a genuine, results-ridden way? Whether it be 1, 10, or 10,000. And that's where I think most people get caught up in the, well, what should I talk about? And what should I do? It's a lot of what and a lot of where. And what we tell people, we're not ready for that questions yet. We're not ready. What you need to know is who. Who are you most uniquely positioned to serve? And if people have a hard time answering that question, then this is what I would just encourage everyone, is that you are most uniquely positioned to serve the person you once were. And that is where most people can really hang on and go, who was I that needed X, Y, and Z? And what have I been able to do in my life and my business that I could go back and help me 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 months ago? And I think that's where, if we start with the who, then the what becomes a little bit more clear. And as that becomes more clear, the where to be also becomes more clear. And people often ask me, they're like, does everyone have to be on social media? I say, no, depends on where your audience is. Back to the who. If your who is not on social media, then what are you doing there? You can hang out there for your own personal reasons, but in terms of using it to build your business, you only go where your audience is, but you don't. And like back to, it's what should I be posting about where? It's like wrong questions. But we have to know the who, and the who dictates and decides everything else that we do.
I love that foundation of really figuring out the who you can uniquely serve, because I think so often we just take advice from the next business coach who's telling us Instagram is the place to be, or you should be on TikTok, or no, don't be on TikTok anymore because the US is going to shut it down. You should go over to Instagram now, or LinkedIn is blowing up. I really think you should be on LinkedIn. And so what happens is when people think about building a personal brand online, they think about scattering themselves across all of the social media platforms, because that's what the Alex Hormozis and the Grant Cardones of the world do. They take their content, they're on podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, and they get burnt out. And so the journey to building a personal brand looks like, oh, I've got to create all this content, this video content, et cetera. If I can overcome my fear of being on video and find something to talk about, then I'm going to get overwhelmed because I have 10 different platforms to schedule on. And my content creation schedule is actually keeping me so busy that I can't actually sell or make money in my business. And maybe you get some success and get some followers, and then you realize, oh, but I'm not actually making any sales, so I don't have any money. So it's a vicious cycle. So your goal is really to get people to get really zeroed down on the who. And then once they do that, the messaging, the platform, everything else would flow from there.
You know, it does. And I think one of the things that you said that I think is so important is noting the difference between sales and marketing. Because all things online is marketing. And marketing is a long game. Sales is a short game. And most people in business today are overly consumed with marketing and underconsumed with the power of sales. And if you still look at most big deals today and most big decisions, they happen offline. Now, I could give you a long list of examples: attorneys, doctors, financial advisors, hairstylists. We're still going offline for most of those referrals, recommendations, and final decisions. We're using online sources and tools to make those decisions of going, you know, if somebody refers me someone, I'm still going to look them up online. If they have no presence, I'm going to be like, hey, can you tell me a little bit more about why you suggested this person? But still today, because online is so crowded and it's so busy, and there are so many polar opposite voices about the same dang thing. I literally was looking up something today about stevia, like the sugar. Yeah. I found 14 polar opposite answers about, I don't know, who are these people who's posting this?
Is it good for me or is it going to kill me? Somebody just give me a conclusive answer.
And it's like completely like, and so I think a part of it is I need to stop doing that. I need to just call my doctor because I do trust my doctor. I just need you to tell me if I'm not going to do like real sugar, is stevia okay? Or, but I think there's a little bit of that right now of going, we get consumed in this arena where we don't even know where truth is. Back to this faceless concept. Where is there truth in that? And that's what most of us are going like, can I just get an accurate answer? Can you just tell me where to go? And that requires some trust. But I think if I was going to tell anyone today who is starting from scratch, how do you build your business right now? I wouldn't even tell them to get online. I wouldn't. I would say, I need you to pull up your phone and I need you to make me a list of the 25 people in there who know and like and trust you the most, because we're going to call them. We're going to get referrals. And then I need you to get to some networking meetings. Yeah, real live human stuff. Get out behind your screen, and I need you to go meet some people face to face, break some bread, have some coffee. I need you to interact with humans. I need you to build relationship. I need you to show up. I need you to show up for people. I need you to give them referrals. This is not in the effort of give to get, but in an effort of, hey, I know that if I continue with a giver's heart, eventually there's going to be reciprocation. Not because I expect it, but because that's what happens, right? If I go and give you 15 referrals, eventually you're going to be like, AJ, what can I do for you? I'm so grateful for this. How can I help you? Show up, right? And that doesn't happen with a faceless identity. And it doesn't happen often online, right? There's got to be you've got to move it from offline to online, from online to offline in order for there to start to be a growth trajectory in your business and in your relationships. And that's the importance of building referrals. If you are really starting to build your personal brand right now, it's like, yes, I do think you need that foundation of what do you believe? And what we say at Brand Builders Group is there's four core things into finding what we call your brand DNA, right? The essence of who you are as a person. And it's what problem do you solve? How do you uniquely solve that problem for the world? Who do you solve it for? And how do you make money solving it? And so once you know the who, then we need to know what problem do they have? How can you solve it? And then how can you make money solving it? Now, you may already have the business model part figured out, but you haven't been really clear on the who and the problem. And we find that often is that people have a super successful, I'm just making this up, dental practice. But they're going, man, I don't want to just be known as a dentist. And I'm like, you're not just a dentist. That's something you do, but how do you do it different? How do you want to do it? Right? How do you want people to perceive your craft, your business, you as a person? And there's so many things correlated into, if it feels like work, then you're doing it wrong. Because really, we were created to work. Like I tell people all the time, like Brand Builders Group, this is not my business. This is my ministry, right? This is what I'm called to do. We're fundamental non-believers in retirement. Like the whole concept of retirement is so wacky to me. It's like every single person I know who has sold their business and quote unquote retired is now working again. Why? Because they're like, man, I just felt like something was missing. It's like we are meant to create. We are meant to do things. And if it feels like work, then we're often doing it wrong. It's because we've put work into it and we've left out the passion and the calling and finding some of those, who do I serve and how do I help them? Put some of that purpose back into it. So it's not just about making a buck, it's about making a difference.
Yeah, I love that. And it's true. From a believer's perspective, work came before the fall, which a lot of people don't realize. They think it was like a punishment. It actually came before the fall. And we talk all the time about how in retirement, first off, most people end up not having a purpose and they end up dying prematurely and their health deteriorates very fast. But the thought of putting off all of the things I look forward to in life until I'm 65 or 70 just seems like such a miserable existence. But I love this whole idea of really figuring out that personal brand and then being able to amplify it and the call to go, hey, start in your local community, because that's how my business was built. I started my full-time consultancy back in 2012 and it was the relationships and the reputation that I had from the corporate job that I had that helped start that consultancy and going to those B&I networking meetings that felt so lame. But I built great relationships. I was able to get my hands dirty. And I think it speeds up your feedback. And feedback is so important in all of this and your messaging and trying to figure out your offers and how you talk about your offers and who you're going to serve, because you get immediate feedback. And eventually you find that lock and key that work together so well. And then you can take that and amplify it online if you want to. But when I even think about the business that I have today, I think about the amazing clients we have and that people in our group consulting program retain. Almost all of them were relationships or referrals that we had from people that knew me in person. They had some type of mastermind experience with me, or they saw me speak and we talked afterwards, or I spoke at a mastermind they were a part of. And that relationship, that experience with me has now led to them or somebody that they know being a part of these programs. Even though we have the credibility and I post on social media and we have the list builder and the email list and all of that, our conversion rate on a sales call with somebody that comes from a referral versus somebody who just found me, heard about me through the grapevine or something is drastically different. It's almost 100% close rate if somebody comes in through a referral, but it's probably more like 25% if they just stumble upon me.
It's totally true. And that is the case for almost any business. And it's because they have come through a trusted source. They have come through someone that they know and trust, and that trust extends to you. The only reason 1,000 people clicked on that button when Lewis said, you should click on this button, is because they trusted him. So we had the benefit of this borrowed trust because of the relationship that we had with him and that he had with his audience. That's no different than a referral. It's like, I have a trusted relationship with someone who says, this is what you need to do. And there's a transference there. So I think that's the important part of like why personal branding is so important, is that trust accelerator part. It helps accelerate trust where there was little or none. And it's not that it's going to fix all of it, but it's an accelerator of getting them to the next step of like where they can see you show up on a consistent and personal basis, where they get to learn from you and go, okay, I agree with this, or I don't, right? A part of your brand should be attracting the people who are a fit and repelling the ones who are not. You shouldn't ever get people who are coming to you going, I just don't know. And if so, that's because you're not being honest and true about what your business really does and who they do it for, because you are not for everyone. You cannot be. And if you're trying to be for everyone, I bet you're probably in a place of stagnation or complacency and you feel it. And like, I'll give you one quick example. I'm a believer that I never shared my faith in my business prior to starting this company. In our former business, it was just, it's just not for the workplace. That's all I'll say. Just wasn't for the workplace. And when we started Brand Builders Group, we felt it was a God wake up call. It was a divine intervention of, hey, you're on the wrong path and I'm going to set you straight. And you didn't do it. So we're going to do it my way. And that meant getting fired and being humbled in all kinds of ways. It was really needed. And I'm happy for it now. Wasn't then. But one of the things that I really heard God say to me is, give me the glory. Give me the credit. Give me the honor where it's deserved. And I didn't do that before. And so at Brand Builders Group, I have really been vocal on all my social feeds and even on podcasts like this when it's welcome of, hey, yeah, that's a part of your story. Share it. And it's, here's the craziest part. We have more people who come to us at Brand Builders Group who are going, I was so happy to see someone so vocal about their faith, and I haven't been sure how to do that in my business. And it's part of them are coming for their personal brand, and some of them are going for, I just need to see this being done somewhere. I just want to be aligned with people that I know that we're not perfect. We're going to get stuff wrong, but we come from a certain set of values and beliefs that it's finding your people. It's finding your community. And so I love the question that you asked earlier. It's like, what communities have you been a part of? And that's what I would tell people. Are you a part of communities? Do they exist in your life? Right? And who cares if it's an EO group, a business, or a BNI, or a chamber of commerce, or a Bible study, or an adult pickleball league, whatever it is. It's, do you have those communities that you're actually building a foundation on of people who enjoy like-minded things? And that is how you grow your business today. No different than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago, way before social media. It's really not that different today. We just think it is because of the invasion of technology. But at the end of the day, most business is still done offline.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, okay. Before we wrap up, I know people are going to ask this one question. So I'm a membership owner. I am a course owner. I have a business already. I have influence online. What should I be thinking about? How can I amplify my personal brand if I've already got some messaging figured out, but I'm just going, yeah, we're running ads and we're doing this, but I know there's more to this.
Yeah. So I think it would be a little bit of a repeat of what I said earlier, is take yourself back through the gauntlet of those hard questions. And those are the questions people are like, oh, I've done this before. And I'm like, but have you? Have you really?
I did it in that one worksheet for 15 minutes. That's what I always tell people, like the avatar worksheet of who you serve. I'm like, just so you know, if you spend 15 minutes on that in some online course you took, you do not know your audience well enough to serve them.
And I think a lot of it is, it's don't skip the foundation. And we're in the process, I just shared with you, we're building a new house. Could you imagine what it would be like if I was like, all right, team, go. And there was no architectural blueprint. We do that all the time in business. We skip the planning, we skip the foundation and wonder why we're stuck in growth. And it's sometimes you got to go back to the foundation of going, what am I doing this for? What do I want to be known for? Who am I doing it for? What problem are we solving it? How do we uniquely solve it? And how do we really want to make money solving it? Honestly, sometimes when people are trying to grow, they need to cut back. And he wouldn't mind me sharing this. That is why Lewis House came to us. Like when he came to us over 5 years ago, he was saying yes to everything. He had his inner circle, a coaching program, a mastermind, the podcast, a TV show on the horizon. He was speaking, doing events. He was saying yes to everything. He was completely diluted. And diluted focus always gets diluted results. And in the world of a lot of shiny things, we do too much often in our business. And what we need to do to grow is we need to cut back. We need to cut back on who the who is, because I bet anyone listening right now, including myself, you are serving people in your community right now that you know you shouldn't be serving. And there's somebody else better to serve them than you. And you know that when you go, oh, I have to talk to them. You should never say that about your clients. You should never say that. That should never be what's on your mind. It should be, cannot wait for this today. Cannot wait to see you. I cannot wait to serve you. I cannot wait. And if it's not that, it's the wrong person. And let's help fix that. And so it is going back to some of that foundation of getting crystal clear, because I tell anyone, if you are stagnant, it's because you're not clear on something. And it's whether you're doing too many things or you have too many audiences, too many ideas, too many topics, too many different revenue streams. There is too much of something. I can't tell you what it is on a call like this, but I can tell you it's something. That I know for sure. And for most, it is, how do I declutter and get clear? How do I create more clarity in what I'm saying and who I'm saying it to, where I'm saying it? So often it's, let's cut down on the platforms or cut them all together. Sometimes it's somebody who was talking to me the other day about they are going after hedge fund managers and what social media platform they should be on. And I'm like,
none. They're not hanging out.
They're hanging out on Instagram. I don't think you're going to find your hedge fund management prospect group anywhere online. And it was like a very aha moment for this person of going, no one has said that to me yet. And I'm like, and I don't think you should spend any time online. I think you need a website for credibility when people do look you up. But do I think you need to invest in a film crew and a social media account? No, I do not. What I think you need to do is you need to figure out where these people are hanging out, join those associations, join those groups, sponsor the things, network and get referrals. Let's redirect your time. And for most people, that's what it is. It's a re-clarification of where my people are, who my people are, and how do I go after them.
I love this concept of simplifying before you amplify, because if you try and amplify something that's complicated and messy and has all of these strings connected, it's really challenging to pour gasoline on that fire. But when you're really clear about what that one flame is, what's that one thing that you want to focus on, and you can pour all of that energy into one amplification, it's going to lead to way more results. And I think all of us know that. But then I even know I've been working on a new marketing plan because I keep getting told I'm the best kept secret on the retention side of things. So yeah, let's work on this new marketing plan. But I am guilty. I'm listening to this going, yeah, we need to go back and cut, because we do have various things that we could offer and sell. But really, it comes down to our two core programs, Cultivate and Retain. And if we're not talking about those two, then what are we talking about? Why should we be talking about anything else? So I needed that message for me today. I don't know if anybody else did, but I'm very grateful for it. So tell everyone how they can connect with you, because I know you all have your own podcast, which is full of juicy goodness. So that's great to start. But then you have Brand Builders Group, which literally walks people in a very methodical step-by-step way through this whole process.
Yeah. So I'd say if anything, we're a bunch of nerds. We love data. We love processes. We love methodologies in a way that simplify things. And I feel like that's one of our gifts, is simplification of taking a whole bunch of stuff and really narrowing it down. And so there's a couple of different ways that you can get in touch with us. I would say if you want to check out what we do at Brand Builders Group, then you can request a free call. It's a 45-minute personal brand strategy call with one of our strategists. It walks you through these same questions like, who's your audience? Right? You know, what problem do you solve? And if you don't know that, we're going to walk you through that. At the end, it's like, hey, do you want to learn about how we can help you do that more? So it's a very transparent like call. And if it's a fit, great. If it's not, we're going to fill you up with free resources and send you on your way. So for that, you can go to freebrandcall.com/Shanna. right? So freebrandcall.com/Shanna. And then if you just want to connect with us, check out the podcast, do all the things, just go to brandbuildersgroup.com. That's where our social is. The link to my website is there. Our podcast is there. We have a whole tab called free resources. We have masterclasses, free courses, webinars. We got stuff for days. We can keep you very busy at brandbuildersgroup.com.
Yeah. And you all do have a ton of free resources, but I will say, like you've been hearing AJ say on this podcast, it's so personalized. You have to be able to answer these questions. So you can get all of the ideas. You can listen to all the podcasts and do all the things. But when you have a coach sitting down with you saying, because this is who you're trying to serve, because this is your messaging, this is the path we think you can take. And that's for authors, speakers, business owners, et cetera. Everybody can benefit from this. So if you're ready for that amplification, or if you're ready to go to the next level of impact, that's the other thing that I think about. I think of myself as a business owner, and I feel like I'm in the 2.0 phase of business ownership, but I know that there's another message that God has for me to share in the 3.0 phase. And if you feel like you're entering into that next phase, you're ready for the next message, you're ready for the next thing that you want to share, you want to amplify what you're already doing, then definitely schedule a call. AJ, thanks for coming and hanging out. This is so fun. We've caught up in person before, but I love just even diving in more into your brain because we're nerdy about very similar things that complement each other. And so this has been a really great conversation. Thanks for coming and chatting.
Oh, it's awesome. It's always good to spend time with you.
If you have an established membership, you know that retention is the name of the game. When you can keep your customers longer, you increase the lifetime value of each and every customer, which increases your profitability in your business. If you've been wanting to decrease your churn, keep your customers longer, and establish somebody in your business to help really support you on the retention journey, I want you to take a look at my Retain Group Consulting Program. This is crafted specifically to help you establish a solid retention strategy and support a leader on your team that can become the retention leader you've been looking for. Just go to joinretain.com to learn more. Hey friend, thanks for listening. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe. Then do me a favor and leave a review letting me know what you want to hear more of. To learn more about the show or connect with me, head to shanalyn.com. That's shanalyn.com. Until next time.